Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we have Fred on the phone. We have Siri out, Joe on the phone as well. We're going to start off the show with a little bit of CPL talk because I know we promised you that we'd be covering the CPL. So we're going to talk about the first half of the CPL season and our opinions on this, what's going to come in the second half of the CPL season. We're also going to talk about the first weekend of the EPL since it's the first league that started in Europe. The first major league that started in Europe. Don't hit me up on Twitter and ask and tell me that Scotland's a major league or anything like that, but please. So we're gonna talk about the transfers that happened with Joe, and we talked transfers last week as well. So we're gonna get Joe's opinion on some of this stuff, and then we'll hit upon some of the other things that are going on in the world of football in Europe and of course here at home in North America. But guys, as usual, you can get to our podcast on our website, footballweekly.com. That's football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. You can subscribe to us on Twitter at @football_weekly. You can subscribe to us on Instagram, @football_weekly_podcast. There's a number of different ways you can subscribe. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. We're on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts. We're everywhere. Anywhere you can download content from, music, anything like that, we'll be there. We're there. So guys, lots to talk about. Second show of the season. Now we have Joe involved. Let's hear his opinion. So guys, sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. We'll be back after this.
This is Emmanuel Zambazis of York 9 Football Club, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
Episode 2 of the Season 5 of the Football Weekly Podcast is upon us. This week we have Frederick on the phone, and we have our favorite Syria Joe back in the building. He's on the phone, no, but I guess the Football Weekly Podcast can be classified as a building.
Still here.
So, as we spoke about last episode, EPL season started up, and we'll talk about that in the towards the later part of the show. But we wanted to get back to what we mentioned earlier on in season, well, I guess halfway through season 4 of this podcast, where we were going to talk about Canadian grassroots stuff, especially with the emergence of the CPL League, the Canadian Professional League in Canada here. And we're going to take this opportunity to start off the show talking about that. So, Syria Joe.
Yeah,
I guess. What do you got for us?
Well, I guess today I'll be CPL Joe, and I'm good with that.
Okay.
I'm happy to carry that moniker.
We all should be good with that, right?
Yeah. So, the CPL is, we talked about, it's in full swing. It's, we mentioned this when we were discussing the emergence or the beginning stages of the league. It's done in a two stages of the season, if you will, Apertura and Clausura. If you're talking about, you know, taking the, you know, South American model or Mexican model and stuff of that nature. So we had a spring season, which was won by out of Calgary, I should say. And now with a closer race in the second half in the summer season, or fall season. I don't even know what to check that. I should know that. But the second part of the season, and it's a little bit of a tighter race. You have FC Edmonton up near the top, local GTA teams, like, well, Forge, who was strong in the second, in the first half of the season, and I believe finished second, still up in, you know, up in the table for the second half. And now York 9 also having a much stronger, a better showing in the second half of the season. In terms of what's happened so far, I know I'm just giving you guys a rundown, but I think it's worth mentioning. Obviously, the Canadian Championship was a great, great stage for these CPL teams to perform on and to be part of, and they've been nothing but fantastic. And that's not an understatement.
Well, it's good to give these guys a little bit of, I know they're professionals as we know them, but to get into the another level of professional playing teams like TFC and Whitecaps and things like that, it can do nothing but help their programs, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we had you know, obviously a League One team play. So Vaughan played against Halifax in the preliminary round, had a great showing, losing 3-3 on aggregate, beating Halifax in Halifax, which was no easy feat, and had a tremendous showing by a lot of players. And then actually today we had official announcement that a player played that game at center back, Duran Lee. From Vaughan Soccer Club, also had spent a lot of time with Sigma, signed today with Halifax.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was just hot off the press today. Yeah, so started off with that. Obviously, Halifax moved on, but fast forwarding, you know, York 9 had a very good showing against Montreal Impact, only undone at in Montreal by Ignacio Piatti. I mean, not bad.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. And, of course, the biggest story so far was Calgary FC knocking off the Vancouver Whitecaps and beating them to advance to the semifinal of the Canadian Championship, where they will play the second leg, I believe, tomorrow, along with everyone else, with TFC obviously playing Ottawa. But in Calgary's case, they started on the road in Montreal and actually came away with an away goal. So 2-1 down, but coming home to try to pull the upset, if you will. Interesting note, Ignacio Piatti is out for the game. So that's big news, gives Calgary an even better chance. In the first leg, we had kind of a local connection here. Former TFC first teamer Sergio Camargo score a beautiful goal in that game. And there's a player, you know, trying to get back, hopefully, to MLS status or anything of that nature. And that's exactly what we said this league was about, giving players a chance and having them an opportunity to do that. So a lot of stuff to be excited about. Then, not to be outdone, obviously we have Forge FC, who had an even, I'd say, bigger, not say bigger, but boy, an equal feat. I mean, because, you know, I don't want to shortchange Calgary for knocking off the Whitecaps. That's a great achievement. But Forge played a two-leg preliminary round series as part of the CONCACAF Champions League.
Hold on a second, Joe, before you get too far. Calgary had a man sent off. How do you think that's going to affect the game tomorrow?
Yeah, Nick Ledgerwood was actually sent off, former Canadian international. I think, to be fair, with all due respect to Nick Ledgerwood, who's a very veteran player, has had professional, you know, experience, I believe, in Germany and Europe and so on. Of course, that's irreplaceable, whether he in the starting 11 or off the bench. But, you know, I do believe that Calvary's depth in that position, especially with other players like Julian Boucher, you know, who's had MLS experience, I think they should be, you know, okay in that sense. Obviously, they'd miss him, but I guess the trade-off, you know, Montreal not having Piatti, I think they'd take that.
Right.
Yeah, I so, guess, see, yeah.
You know?
All right.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's a good point, Fred. But, yeah, we'll and then so Forge.
I was just saying we'll see what happened tomorrow then.
Yeah, it should be a great match. And, again, they're at Spruce Meadows in Calgary, you know, and a great environment. I'd say well-supported team. You know, the argument was probably Calgary and Calgary and, Halifax in terms of the best – the best support and the ground and so on. Of course, Forge has great support, a lot of the teams too. Forge, like I was saying, CONCACAF Champions League, all they went and did is knock off, you know, a team from Guatemala. I think it's Antigua is the name of the club. And, you know, winning here at home in Hamilton with a great performance. And then, of course, going down to Guatemala, no easy feat, and keeping a clean sheet to advance. So good for you know, Coach Bobby and ex-Sigma and all of the Forge staff, players, everyone, you know, it's a huge congratulations to them. So big things happening with that. So on. So that's the team stuff. We got a couple of player stuff, but pretty good. I think it's, you know, what we said, Reggie and Fred, giving players, Canadian players, an opportunity to perform in more important games. And I think this is exactly what has happened.
Well, that was the cry for the league, right? Because when the players, there's a lot of players here, and we've talked about this at length, but we're not going to get back into it. But there's a lot of players in GTA Canada. Oh, okay. I'm not even going to say GTA Canada wide. There's a lot of players, but after they come back from university and they don't make that MLS team, then where do they go and what do they do? Now they have that lead to try to propel them into even if they want to go second league Germany, if they want to go first division Germany, if they want to go play in the MLS, there's at least there's that avenue to go those routes, right?
Yeah, the opportunity, and that's all these young players could ask. And you know, I keep saying that it's not only for the young player, but it's also for the staff members, not only coaching staff, but you know, people working behind the scenes in teams. I think this entire thing, you know, CPL's front office, from commissioner down to you know media executives, anything you want to call it, to their you know obviously affiliation on League One, which is obviously owned by CPL, like. And the great work done by Commissioner Dino Rossi in League One Ontario. So it's everybody, right?
Right, exactly.
We've had some Football Weekly podcast connections to this. Obviously, we've had Marcel Sajak, Austin Ricci, and Emmanuel Zambassis on the show talking about their experience in CPL and so on. We had Marcel and Austin had made appearances. It took and done very well. It's taken a little bit longer for Emmanuel Zambassis, but finally he has made three appearances in a row, 90-minute performances, fantastic. And with all and all accounts, they were great. Well, you know, obviously from others, but obviously I watched them as well. Great performances, two very very good ones, you know, and in all three games over 90% passing accuracy and so on, just. No, and this is exactly it. Have waiting your opportunity, no matter when it comes, for a young Canadian player, and taking it. So it's nice to, for the Football Weekly podcast. We've been telling you guys about these guys. We've interviewed them, obviously with the help of Marcus Hansen and FTF Canada helping us out and getting their name out. And this is, I think, Reggie, Fred, and you know, and Logan, you know, would agree with this too. This is part of what we've talked about to also give this league, you know, the chance and to have our listeners and our supporters understand that what it's for, right? It's to give players a chance. And you know what, guys? I've been to a few games, and I tell you that the quality has and this is not just me saying it, you know, I'm sure you've read stuff too. The quality has been well exactly that. It's been pretty high quality. So it's been good. And watching these teams play against MLS teams, whether it be York 9, you know, playing against Montreal and then Vancouver playing against two MLS teams, and of course Forge playing in the Champions League, it's been very good. So kudos to everyone involved in the league, and I mean, we'll continue to keep you updated, and hopefully we can have another local product who is here and doing this thing out of Halifax. We're hoping to have someone on there soon, and we're working on that, and to continue to give you guys that content.
Well, it's it can only bode well for the players. They finally have an outlet where they're playing every day at a professional level with professional coaching. And I know Karma Sacco is part of the York 9 with Jimmy Brennan there, but he's bringing his wealth of knowledge to these guys, and they're seeing it every day with that type of coaching. So it has to go up from here. Especially with, like I said, guys playing every day. It's now their job. Instead of something you do after school or something you do after work, it is now your job.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's propelled. So, and again, not only speaking of the teams that, you know, that I know, you know, some of the guys that are involved, all of the teams, every single team, from following them, from talking to others, and all, they're all doing exactly what you said. It is professional to up and down the organization. So all the teams in CPL deserve a lot of credit. It's the first year of the league, and they've really made a splash in terms of Canadian Championship, you know, like I said, CONCACAF Champions League. You know, the coaching staffs and players are really putting in work with video breakdown and film stuff, and even, you know, the their athletic trainers and their staffs are really doing a great job. So, like I said before, it's a great opportunity for everyone. I think the trickle-down effect has been even the quality of League One this year has really gone up in terms of the preparation from coaches, you know, and obviously I have the opportunity to work closely with, you know, the guys at Bonner, look, you know, and see how they're working and so on. and the others that I've seen as well. Kudos to all of them. And again, down to the work of, you know, League One Ontario and Dino Rossi, everyone there. It's had a trickle down effect. It's really pushing people to work even harder.
Yeah, because there's somewhere for them to go. Even the coaches, I might get a spot in the CPL, and it's something that you're striving for, right? So,
Of course, Reggie, and you know we've had some of those coaches on here with Sanford Carabin, Ilya Orlov, Patrice Geiser, Coach Anthony Vidori. Like, and I'm gonna miss a couple, but all these guys doing their thing. Yeah, Carm, of course. Yeah, who's now, you know, in the CPL. So it's they're players, right? We just talked about player signings. And so a lot of players from League One Ontario have moved on. And again, we're looking to push more on, and not only from one or two clubs. It's up and down the league. So it's exciting times. And we wanted to give CPL, especially on Football Weekly Podcast, we wanted to give it the limelight that it deserves. And again, you know, we understand where it is in the pecking order, but we need this so importantly. You know, Bob Young, I was just watching a clip of Bob Young on The Forge, on one of their social media stuff. Of course, he's the owner of Forge FC and really, really instrumental in propelling the CPL as a whole on the national and international stage, by the way. You know, and his excitement for the league is fantastic. You know, and he's talking about how, you know, Forge, for example, is playing against these two teams, whether it be Antigua now and the team that they're playing, I think it's Olimpia from Honduras, and they've been around for 100 years. Imagine that. So whereas Forge and these CPL teams have been around for less than a year and are playing as these teams. So this is what we want, right? So we just wanted to give them their fair due. So we'll be giving you more content with that. We continue to follow us and the Football Weekly Podcast. You know, check out our social media stuff. Of course, you know, listen to our pods and see who's coming on next. And we'll talk about the league. And of course, First Touch Football with Marcus Hansen and the boys. And they'll keep giving you that quality information about CPL in Canada and Canadian players in general.
Well, I'm not going to let you off the hook so fast, Joe. I know you got to run, but we're going to talk. We're going to talk about a couple of more things before you go.
Yeah, for sure.
But we're not leaving the CPL just yet. I want to hear who you think is the player of the first half in the CPL.
Oof.
It's a tough one.
That's a tough one. Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I won't give you one player. Just give me some standouts.
Sure. You know, for me, I think there's a lot of players. I mean, the goalkeeper at York 9 has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Nate Ingham has been good. Marco Carducci has been good as well. You know, there's a lot of goalkeepers, but those two stand out. In terms of, you know, obviously we talked about Emmanuel starting to come on, but I mean, for the entire season, I think you got to give fair dues to a lot of the guys on Calgary. You know, Sergio Camargo really having a strong year. Manny Aparicio.
Yeah.
And things for, you know, York 9. I'm going to miss some guys. Valor's got a lot of interesting players. To me, I mean, Tristan Borges. How can I?
Well, yeah.
For me, he's really stood out. Tristan has done really, really well. I know Cadell Thomas is pretty excited. Had a fantastic goal the last couple of weeks. But, you know, Tristan is a player who's dynamic and, you know, who's really shown with a chance to play what he can do and so on. There's been really some really great performances. I'd really like to, you know, give you more of a rundown when I can to give fair dues to that. But those are just some of the players that have, you know, really impressed. Luca Gasparato too at York 9 as well. Also impressed. And you know, they've just lately, even that, you know, I've talked about Joe DiChiara in the past and so on. So these guys have really shown. I think Forge as a whole, I think whoever they put in there, even, you know, we talked Marcel, when he got his chance, he's done well. Anthony Novak, a lot of these guys, you know, they when given the opportunity, you know, Forge as a whole has been really, you know, steady throughout, as well as Calgary too. So a lot of players, a lot of great performances.
Well, that's great. It's great that it's spread around and it's not just one team that's smashing everybody. It's great that there's performances from everybody. So that's fantastic. Sure. So, guys, like Joe said, we'll keep up with the CPL for sure. We're working on interviews and we're working on getting some of the coaches and players, or maybe some higher ups as well, on the show. So keep in touch with that. But I know Joe has to go, but I still want to get his take on the very first weekend of the EPL season.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. First of all, Fred and Reggie, mm-hmm. have flipped the script. You know, as the Gunner guys, mm-hmm. we got to be happy. You have to be happy with the result.
Well, I'm happy with the result. Clean sheet away from home. Tough place to go. And people say Newcastle, who cares? But it's still St. James's Park.
I think that's rubbish. I think that's right, Freddie. You can the St. James's Park opening day of the season. Yeah. Horrible conditions.
Yeah.
Fred, what do you think about Reggie? I know you said it, Fred. I mean, you got to be happy with that.
No. We'll take the win anytime.
3 points.
Especially when you go up to those places, you know.
But is there an easy place to go play, really? Like
Stadium of Tottenham Hotspur at Nike, whatever it's called. It's pretty easy.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding. But I'm not gonna dwell too much in the Arsenal game, but it's just I think if you watch the game, I watched the whole game obviously, but if you watch the game, totally dominant performance by Arsenal. That's all I'm gonna say.
For me as a neutral, I'd say what stood out for me is the big picture is, you know, the big signings didn't even have to do anything.
Well, that's, didn't have to play. This is what we're getting into that, you know, they're always going to be kind of fresh, you know?
And for me, like, you know, Reggie and I were going back and forth. Reggie said, oh, we won the window. And I said, I don't know. And then you made two more signings. I'm like, okay, yeah, for sure. I think Arsenal won the window in Europe.
Yeah, I think
so. It's a good sign, but you didn't have to use them. I thought, obviously, this is a no-brainer. I'm not saying anything out of like that's, you know, a major prediction here that came too. But like Guendouzi in the team of the week, absolutely. Yeah. What a great performance.
He ran the show in the midfield.
Yeah. We saw glimpses last year. Like we knew that this is the type of player he could be, young player. But what a solid performance. I mean, you know, it shows you like, you know, keeping some guys off the bench. Well, Torreira last year was supposed to be the guy.
Yeah.
You know, Willock comes in and, you know, like there's a balance, you know, and I think, you know, again, it's week one. We get it. We'll get to like people calling, you know, for like United to be now world beaters after that. So
I don't know I don't know if they're world beaters, Joe. But
if you lose 4-0, that's like the weirdest 4-0 scoreline ever. Because Chelsea were really hard done by, were they not, guys?
Well, they hit the post twice. I get it, but. I think man for man on the field, I think they were just outmatched. They don't have that guy. Well, they had him last year. His name is Hazard. They had him.
Yeah.
If you need something to happen, let's just get the ball to Hazard and see what he can do. But they don't have that guy anymore. And Pulisic came on in the second half, I believe. But that's not a replacement. He's a compliment player for me. He's not a replacement for Hazard.
I just really think that, never mind that 4-0. I just think that. Chelsea, if there is a team that's going to probably slip out, I believe, and not just based on week one, Reggie and Fred.
I know, for sure.
We've talked about this before. I think if they are to stay in that mix, they're really going to have to overachieve for me. And I could be wrong, but I don't know. Fred, what do you think?
Yeah, no, you're right, Joe. I know no Hazard. They missed Conte that game, you can see.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like, to me, Tammy Abraham is not a striker to face a Man U, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, especially with Maguire back there.
Yeah, you have Giroud on the bench. Giroud. I know you want to go young, whatever, but
I think you play Giroud. Yeah,
the lineup was not making it for me. And that's what you get, right?
That's not Frank Lampard's guy. Tammy Abraham's Frank Lampard's guy. He took him from, I think he was at Derby with him.
Yeah,
but Drew's not Lampard's guy, and we're gonna see this type of thing. Even though they're transfer banned, I think their transfer runs through the winter, so they can't even make transfers in the winter. I don't think.
Yeah.
So this is the team that's in Champions League too. So I don't know.
That's a very good point.
It's gonna be interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I mean, and then we'll flip the switch to United. I mean, it is a big win. They do deserve credit, and you know, we will talk about the Harry Maguire thing, but you know, a good performance nonetheless. And you know, I think when we talk about, oh, is this guy worth that? I just think it's like we talked about this last year. It's just like buying a home. You're buying a home in 2020 or 2019. It's not like buying a home in 1985. So it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
But that's true. It's a good performance for them. Again, is it a 4-0 kind of win like you had with like what's happening with City and Liverpool? It's still kind of those 1-2 like tit for tat teams. I'm not sure. I think those two are still you know?
Yeah.
Right? In a league on their own.
Yeah.
And as they showed that, I mean, both had very good performances, I would say. We can all agree, like, that's not, again.
Can Liverpool repeat the performance they put in last year without buying a single player?
Yeah, that's the big question, you know? I just, you know, things have to go your way. And I think, you know, last year was De Bruyne injury, but they have so many players. This year it's Sané. Again, it's City. They have so many players.
Right.
Right. So, I don't know. It's that's the thing. But it seems like those two teams have just picked off. I mean, it's week one, gentlemen. I understand. But it's like anything you can do, I can do better.
What I think is going to hamper Liverpool's season is the goalie.
Well, yeah. Alisson actually got hurt
too early in the season. Yeah. Might prove costly down the road, but we'll see.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, many people are calling, and I'm one of those guys, say he should be up for the Ballon d'Or with the year he had. So, but he tweeted out something today saying, or the other day, I'm not sure, guys, saying that he's okay. I think it's kind of answering all the, you know.
Yeah, but, well, we'll see, because I don't know if Adrian is a goalie, like, you know.
Well, imagine they didn't buy or get him in.
Yeah,
I know.
Who's behind? To be fair, Mbappe?
Yeah.
Well, they sold him, right?
Yeah, he's gone back to Belgium.
Yeah, okay. He's not there no more. That's the thing, right? So, I think I read he's working on getting someone on a free to come in as an emergency, because just in case, because reports are Alisson will be out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and there's an Arsenal game. I think there's an Arsenal game. They play Arsenal in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, they play Chelsea next week.
Well, I should be okay with that.
Well, but that could be Chelsea's springboard.
Yeah, like I said, it's just the EPL. It's week to week. Yeah, they look like a work in progress to me, but everything else kind of looks like, you know, I mean, what was the big surprise? Watford? But was it, you know, like, I mean,
this weekend?
Well, I'm saying this past weekend was Watford a surprise when they lose 3-0.
Yeah, they lost 3-0.
To Brighton, I believe.
The performance that they put in last year. Those are the teams that you were looking at last season, saying, you know what, one more season under their belt, a couple of signings here and there, and they might be challenging for a Europa spot with Wolves and Everton and
Leicester,
of the world, right? So, I mean, to come out and play Brighton and lose 3-0 is, I mean, you wouldn't have expected to see that.
You know what it is, Reggie, Fred, it just goes to show you how difficult the EPL is, that you lose like that, and then week two becomes a must result. I won't say must win, but a must result, you know, like,
well, yeah, right, because you don't want to fall down too far from the
The culture and the disbelief, we always talk about a belief, but the disbelief can also set it too. Right. Of, oh man, is this, are we going to come out of this? So, you know, it is the best league in the world for a reason, and it gets better and better because of all the stars and so on. And you know, it's very difficult to win this league, as we know and we're seeing. So, like I said, if you were to tell me a team that drops out, I think it's Chelsea for me. It's going to be one hell of a battle, though, for fourth this year. I think 1 through 4 is going to be something, I think, even better than last year.
Yeah, it's better when all the teams are at full strength.
And I think that's what we have.
I think that's exactly what we have. Well, again, one game into the season, that's what we have. But
based on rosters, though,
right,
and roster movement and what teams have. And, you know, you're going into Unai Emery's second year, and we talked about the good transfer window. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, when you're looking at the team that has gone through some change, is Chelsea.
Right.
So, you know, getting to know each other again. Obviously, Frank Lampard, legend of Chelsea, knows the club, but it's a different role, obviously. And, you know, the love affair doesn't start too well. So, you know, and we'll see, because the other teams are firmly entrenched with, you know, Pep, Klopp, Pochettino, Emery, right? Like, so this is something where he'll have to get up to speed right there. And Ole Gunnar, there's Ole, right? But, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, Pogba had a great performance. Still, there's still rumors he's leaving, but I mean.
Well, I think they squashed all that and said he won't be leaving in this European window. So
you know.
Maybe in the winter, but it's tough to see anybody going out and spending that money in the winter too. So
yeah. So
if he's gonna leave, it's probably gonna be next summer.
It has to be in the summer. So depending on how Man United do, they could win the league. Should he leave? Doubt it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Right? He's just destined to be at Real Madrid or at Juventus, I think. For me, more Real Madrid.
You think he'd go back to Juve?
That's what I mean. I think. The chance to play with Ronaldo, I think, for sure. But, you know, the chance to go play for Zidane, to play at Real, play with Hazard, and it's still Real. I mean, that's got to be pretty. Like, you've already had the adventure of playing for Juve. You played for Man United.
There's a French connection there too with Real Madrid too, right?
Yes, of course. Madrid
and all those guys, for sure.
Yeah, you know,
but you never know.
The opportunity to play in three of the most legendary clubs in the world, right? He's already done Juve. He's already done Man United. You know.
So when does Serie A start?
I think in October.
October.
Okay. It feels like it.
Just after basketball starts.
Yeah, pretty much. It starts the 25th.
Before Christmas? What are we talking about here?
I think it's in 2 weeks.
And then we have an international break the week after, and then
that's Serie A.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. So we'll next show we'll do our Serie A preview, because I like to hear the things that have gone on with AC. I haven't been following too much this summer. So we'll see some of the players. I know they signed a couple of players this year.
The biggest news is probably sorry to Juventus.
Well, I think we touched upon that last week with some of the signings that they made. We just talked about transfers last week, but we didn't really get in depth into the team, so we can do that next week.
For sure. I'll leave you with this little nugget, though. Lukaku, who's with Inter now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big money signing for them, which it was, but you know, some people are happy, some people are shaking their heads, and I'm sure a lot of United fans are saying thank you, but you know, obviously there's optimism because the guy on some level can score. But anyhow, I'm sure you might have seen this today, they asked him about training in Italy, and he tweeted out like saying, oh man, he goes, training in England was hard, but it's really hard here, and they put him on a diet apparently. It's so strict, the regiment. So it's just interesting to see the differences.
He's playing for Conte, right? So he's the general, right?
Yeah, but there's an old, it's always said, if you survive preseason in Italy, you can survive like almost a famine. So,
well, that's what I think Ever said that.
Yeah. And again, when Lukaku. Playing,
yeah.
Yeah. And Lukaku echoed that today, but it was interesting to read that they're putting like him on a strict diet.
Yeah, he's going to come back lean, and he's going to score 20 goals this season.
You know, he could still score. I know he got a lot of flack for not scoring against the top six or what have you, but, you know, it's not England 20 years ago. It's still a pretty darn good league. So anyway, we'll see how that goes, but I guess, well, we'll talk more about that when we go through the league. But, guys, are you excited for the game this week? A couple of those two games you're excited for this week?
For Arsenal?
Well, who's Arsenal have?
Oh, yeah, Burnley. I believe.
Yeah, Burnley.
At home,
At home. I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to talk to you actually about a couple of things, and I know, Joe, you have to go. I know.
It's okay. A couple minutes. We keep stretching. We're okay. We're good.
We were going to talk about last week when we finished the show. We were talking after the show. And we were like, oh, we should have talked about this. We should have talked about that. Now, we have Rooney leaving to be a player coach.
Yeah,
and we have the situation with Kolasinac and Ozil, and Ozil might even be taking the place of Rooney. In DC United, which I can't.
And then
I'll allow you to pick one that you want to talk about, since I know you gotta go.
I could talk both, but I can't believe that. I also, to throw this into the mix, I read something today saying Daniel Sturridge to DC United.
Yeah, I saw that too today.
So I don't know. But is Ozil going to leave to go to
– No.
Like, if you see Ozil leaving, don't you guys see him going to, like, David Beckham's team in Miami, you know, LAFC, LA Galaxy?
I think there's a stop in Turkey before he even goes to the MLS.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, is he done with you guys or with the Gunners? Like,
no. Apparently, in the preseason, he played really, really well in the United States. So I think he has a, I think Emery has given him a lifeline, another opportunity to come back, in. Cause now there's competition at his position with Dani Ceballos coming in from Real Madrid on loan. There is competition for his position.
So, yeah. And it's up to Mesut Ozil if he wants to, you know, fight or flight. Exactly. Or like, and I think that's what Unai Emery, Fred can speak to this too, is that what he's looking for? Like, and I think he's challenging him, right? Hey, we know your quality.
There has to be a challenge there, right? Because, like, I even said it in the first show last week that, you know, if we were to lose anybody, it was him for me because he just doesn't turn up in the big games that we need him to, right? So if anything, then let's kind of cut our losses. But if he doesn't want to fight for his position, then why are you still here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And with him not playing international ball, this is a good season for him to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens, I guess.
So I guess, do you guys see, and I guess maybe this will be my summary, do you guys see it not being, is it a two-horse race again?
Yeah, it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be, Joe. It's going to be two-horse race.
Well, hang on a second here. Man City has strengthened. Arsenal has strengthened. Liverpool is status quo. Okay?
Yeah. They have a great pretty good status quo, though.
Well, you know, I was about to say, they have a great team, don't get me wrong. But last year, a lot of things went their way, like we said.
And Spurs also added one or two.
Spurs added three quality players as well. So it might be a two-horse race, but it might not be the two horses we think.
Well, it's quite possible.
I'm
going to take the easy road, I guess.
Okay.
I'm going to say they're the two. Okay. But I will say that the race for, like I said, three and four will be not that far off as before, as the one and two. But I think it's going to be heated. And you know what? Just as a neutral, it'd be amazing to see Tottenham and Arsenal go for that.
Well, you're going to see Tottenham and Arsenal in 2 weeks. So,
yeah, that's going to be we'll leave it for Logan, but spicy for sure.
Yeah, for sure. We're still on vacation, eh?
Naples, Florida.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got to get into his line of work.
I'm sure there's phones over there.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
So
a lot of sand, so good cut.
So Joe, I asked Fred this last week, and we were talking about TFC, and I know we're jumping all over the place, but I asked him about TFC, and I said, in a hypothetical world, Sebastian Giovinco says, you know what, guys, I want to come back to Toronto. Toronto looks at the roster and says, we got to get rid of one of our designated players. Who's gone?
I think Altidore can't leave.
Okay.
Bradley can't leave.
Oh. Why?
Well, he could, guys.
No, so you're going to get rid of Pozuelo?
No, here's what I say. If you would have... I just think that, for me, Giovinco's better than Pozuelo. And I just think that you have enough anywhere else. You know, I just don't know, like, I know we could survive without Michael Bradley. I do understand that. But there's a lot of running and a lot of stuff that we don't see.
Yeah, I know. But I was thinking that Pozuelo could take the Victor Vazquez role, because Victor Vazquez and Giovinco, when they were together, were fantastic.
Yeah,
and the link-up play with Altidore was great as well.
Oh, no. If we can keep Pozuelo, if Pozuelo wasn't a DP, I'm good with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's easy.
But yeah, that's you know, so that's what
you have four quality players in three spots. Someone has to go. Yeah. I said Bradley.
Yeah, and I think, you know, many would agree. Maybe I don't know. I'm still not sold. But here's one thing's for sure. I think even if Greg Vanney just makes the playoffs, I still think he's on the hot seat, even if he just makes the playoffs. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
The slide has been immense. I don't know if you watched the last game, but
I did. Actually, yeah, like, as a TFC supporter, it was like, oh, man. But we started the show with the CPL Canadian kind of mix.
Mm-hmm.
What a great performance by Kamal Miller at left back.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was going to text you while the game was going on, but I didn't know if you were at the game or not.
No, I wasn't at the game, but I did watch it. And, you know, shout out to Kamal.
Yeah, he played really well.
obviously a Vaughn grad, a Syracuse grad, played with the national team at the Gold Cup. He did very well. He really did. And you know, he's a natural center back and did a fantastic job.
At the left back, there. Right?
Yeah, he did a good job. Position, you know, so, yeah. And you know, I must say though, Richie Larea has done a very good job at right back for TFC.
I don't know why. Was it Orlando that let him go?
They did, and I think, but Orlando never played him at right back. They were playing him, and again, Richie is obviously a Toronto boy, Sigma boy, and played at Akron, but was a central player. And then, but he's really found his way. I'm very, very, very happy with his performance.
It's fantastic, and he's a right really, back.
Isn't he? Yeah, and you know what? It's always nicer when, just like Kamal, when they're good people and a good person, it's even better. So good for those two Canadians playing that game and so on.
Perfect. Well, we started in Canada. We're going to end in Canada. Joe was only supposed to be on the show for 15 minutes. It's 40
Look,
minutes
I gave
now.
You 45.
So, so he gave us one full half of professional soccer talk. So
it is the drug that is Football Weekly Podcast.
Exactly. That's so we thank him for that. And hopefully we're going to be back doing our hour show next week, I hope, guys. Hopefully we can ramble Liverpool Logan to get off the golf course and join us for the show. And maybe a case of beer will appear at my place because I'm still waiting for that. For sure. Right, guys? So
There you go.
Hopefully we can get that in. But guys, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.